means that the people above the level of presidents and prime ministers that really make the decisions, they're never looked at or exposed by the mainstream media because they're not accepted to exist. And yet, who decides who becomes president of the United States or even runs for president? Those who control the money, cuckoo land it is to run for president, and those who control the media. Same people control both. But they decide not only who runs for the Republicans, they decide who runs for the Democrats as well. And so it is around the world. This group of organizations began to be created after the establishment of a secret society in Britain, because Britain's been a real center for this. A secret society called the Round Table, involving a guy called Cecil Rhodes, after which Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, was named. In 1919, the Versailles Peace Conference, the American members of this Round Table secret society, who just happened to be, merely coincidental of course, the main players behind the American government that went in and fought the First World War, met at the Hotel Majestic in Paris with the British members of this secret society, which, yet another coincidence, just happened to be the key members of the British war cabinet in the First World War. And they decided to start to create offshoot organizations which, working together, would constitute the secret government of the world, or a big chunk of it. The first of these organizations was set up in London in 1920, called the Royal Institute of International Affairs, also known as Chatham House. Again, these organizations are pyramids, with most people involved in them not realizing the real agenda. And all these organizations are projected at the world as this term that's emerged over the last 20 years, think tanks, debating organizations. In 1921 came the next in these organizations, the American version of the Royal Institute, was known as the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, since 1921, virtually every president of the United States has been a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. The Royal Institute of International Affairs works to control British domestic and particularly foreign policy. Don't matter who's in, Labour or Conservative, same people run the show, which is becoming more and more obvious. And the Council on Foreign Relations in America is there to control and manipulate American, particularly foreign policy, but other policies also. After the Second World War, when we had more centralization of power, because we've had two wars in this century now, something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it? After the First World War, the world was more centralized in terms of power. After the Second World War, it was even more centralized. That was the game. That was the idea, the goal. 1954 came an organization which today is probably the key organization in this network, called the Bilderberg Group. Bilderberg Group met officially for the first time in 1954 at the Bilderberg Hotel in Oosterbeek, Holland. Under the chairmanship of a member of the Dutch royal family called Prince Bernhard, who has an interesting CV. He was, according to many published works, a member of the SS before the war, worked for German intelligence during the war, and then became a major shareholder of Shell Oil after the war. The present chairman of the Bilderberg Group is Lord Carrington, former British cabinet minister and foreign secretary when the mistakes were made that led to the Falklands War. He resigned as the result of those mistakes and was given the job as Secretary General of NATO. Nice work if you can get it. Lord Carrington and his buddy, Henry Kissinger, come up everywhere. They are two of the super gophers of this manipulation. They're not top of the pyramid people necessarily, though Kissinger is up there. They are people who go around manipulating into place the policies decided, playing one off against the other and such like. The Bilderberg Group, like all these others I talk about, have among their number the top people, and I mean the top people, in global politics. Not Fred Jones, MP for, you know, Margate East or something, prime ministerial, presidential, ministerial and leader of the opposition level, I'm talking about. The top people in global banking, the top people in the global multinational company network, in the global military. The Secretary General of NATO is always there. Indeed, it's a Bilderberg appointment, that post. The top people in the global media. The Bilderberg Group has a steering committee which meets all the time, monthly, usually in Britain, to discuss policy and keep this program going of centralization of power towards world governance stuff, which incidentally the European Union is a stepping stone towards. And then once a year it meets somewhere in the world in very strict secrecy and has a big confab with loads and loads of people from around the world coming in. They try very hard even to keep quiet where they're meeting, never mind what they're actually discussing. And I had a series of amazing coincidences when I was writing the book And the Truth Shall Set You Free, for reasons I'll talk about when I come to the spiritual, which put me in the right place at the right time to see things happen or gather information. And one of those things happened in relation to the Bilderberg Group. Last June, I was invited to stay with a school teacher friend of mine in Switzerland. The trip had been arranged for about 6 to 9 months. The tickets had been organized. It was all set a long time in advance. About 5 days before I left for Switzerland, I got a letter, a kind of round robin letter, from a journalist in America who works for an alternative newspaper and has dedicated his life, in effect, to chasing these organizations, particularly the Bilderberg Group, finding out who's involved, what the agenda is, what they're trying to achieve and stuff. And even he, who does it full time, often only finds out where they're meeting very late in the day. So I get this letter, and it said, I've found where the Bilderbergers are meeting this year. It's in Bürgenstock, Switzerland, and it happened to be just down the road from where I was staying at the time I was staying there. Thank you, universe. So I turn up. It's three hotels, three quarters of the way up this mountain at Bürgenstock. $1,000 a night suites. I had a bag of sherbet lemons, as I recall. The park, the grand, and the palace. And it's like summing out a James Bond. I expected, you know, the car chase to come past me any minute, that kind of atmosphere, Mercedes everywhere. And why is it, I wonder, that whenever there's Mercedes around, there's people like that, with shoulders like that, and big double-breasted suits like, and whether they've got bad memories, I don't know, but they've got little name tags on them, you know. It was obviously something was going on and being organized. So I enjoy the atmosphere for a while. I think it's very strange. And I leave. And then I come back on the last of the 4 days they met. What a difference. Now I can't get on the mountain leading up to the hotels because the road is blocked by the Swiss police right at the bottom of the mountain. Across the mountain are military lookout posts. According to this journalist, in the early days there were helicopters all over the mountain surveying the place. This is a private meeting of a private organization attended by many, many of the people we see on the news and in the newspapers every week and actually have the opportunity to vote for in this democracy that we're supposed to live in. Incidentally, one of the great myths I feel we need to get over is the fact that democracy is freedom. No, it's not. It's a con trick. 50 people telling 49 what's going to happen in their lives is not freedom. Or in our electoral system in Britain, about 35 telling the rest what's going to happen is certainly not freedom. But freedom and democracy have become interlinked, so one means the other. So we're in a democracy, we are free, so we accept it when we're actually in a tyranny. Anyway, I thought I'd play the ignorant tourist in Bürgenstock, you see, which I did with remarkable aplomb. So I come up to the roadblock like, and this Swiss policeman comes over. I knew he was a Swiss policeman because on his back it said Swiss police. You know, my observation is, my powers of observation are unbelievable that day. This is a nice man I'm talking to here, spoke very good English. And I said to him, look, I said, I came here the other day and I went up there, what's the problem today? It's very obvious he didn't know exactly what was going on, but I remember what he said. He said, it's top secret, no one up there before 5 o'clock, after that you'll be able to go back to the hotels. Last day it was. Two things occurred to me. One was the irony that I could have told this guy what was going on up there, and many of the people that were up there, because they're always there, Lord Carrington, Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller, of the Rockefeller Empire, which is fundamentally involved in all this. Representatives of the House of Rothschild, also fundamentally involved in this. And many of the other key people, like Agnelli, the head of Fiat, and people like that. The big players in the world, banking, political, and business network. The other thing that occurred to me is that I was looking into this policeman's eyes, and I was looking at compartmentalization. Because, as I say, this was a nice man. He probably had children and grandchildren. He doesn't want to leave them some global tyranny. But he doesn't know what he's defending. What has he been told? Top secret meeting, no one passed here till you're told. That's all he knows. So although he doesn't want to leave his children, not all of the people up there, because some of them are manipulated too, but what the core of that organization wants to leave his children, he doesn't want to. But he doesn't know what he's defending. So on that one afternoon, he's keeping from the public eye some of the people that wish to leave his children exactly that. We had a situation in Bergenstock where the secrecy was so fierce for a private organization, a think tank, that they brought them in by private plane to a military airfield at the bottom of the mountain, and then flew them behind the security cordon in helicopters. Didn't even drive them up there. And it's amazing how if your attitude turns out to be the right attitude for the people that control that organization, how your career can soar after you're invited to these confabs. In the 1970s, certainly outside of Britain, a virtually unknown, very little known, conservative opposition spokesman called Margaret Thatcher started being invited to some Bilderberg meetings. She goes on to be not only leader of the Conservative Party, but leader of Britain, Prime Minister, right through the 1980s when fundamental changes were happening to British society through something called Thatcherism. Interestingly, on the other side of the Atlantic at the same time, purely by coincidence, of course, we had Reaganomics, which just happened to be the same economic policies. Isn't life funny, all these coincidences? It couldn't just be that the same people made sure both were in power at the same time, because that economics was exactly what was required through the 80s as part of this plan for centralization on a global level. In 1991, even in America, a virtually unknown governor for Arkansas called Bill Clinton was invited to the Bilderberg meeting in Baden-Baden, Germany. Within a year, this guy is successfully running for president of the United States. In 1993, another relatively unknown Labour Party Home Affairs spokesman in Britain called Tony Blair was invited to the Bilderberg meeting in Greece, along with his opponent, the Conservative Chancellor, Kenneth Clark, by the way. Within a year, Tony Blair is leader of the Labour Party and, barring a miracle, will become Prime Minister of this country. It's a great career move. The last five Secretary Generals of NATO, and I only know it's the last five because that's only as far as I've had time to check back. It's many more than that. The last five Secretary Generals of NATO, Bilderberg's group members. Manfred Werner, Joseph Luns, Lord Carrington, Willie Claes, the present one, Javier Solana, Bilderberger. And indeed, when they were discussing who was going to be the new Secretary General of NATO, it was between three people. Javier Solana, Bilderberg Group, Uwe Ellemann-Jensen of Denmark, Bilderberg Group, and Ruud Lubbers, the former Dutch Prime Minister, Bilderberg Group. The head of the World Bank and many of